Paul Carrack, the man with the golden voice, has been famed for the voice of Ace's How Long, Squeezer's Tempted, Micah Mechanic's anthems, The Living Years and Over My Shoulder, and not forgetting his own solo work with classics like Eyes of Blue. He's had a fantastic album out this year, very critically acclaimed as Soul of Shadows, did really well in the charts, and that follows up from an album that I was just going crazy about 3 years ago, called Rain or Shine. And I know he's always got something else up his sleeve. In fact, he's got a big charity single coming out this Christmas, which is a reworking of The Living Years. And I know he's working on lots of other things. And most excitingly, he's got a big UK tour, which is going to bring him to, I think, the arena in Sheffield for the first time. He's also going to be playing York Barbican and the Victoria Theatre in Halifax back home in Yorkshire. So I'm going to be talking to him all about that. And like I said, my special guest today on the phone is Paul Carrack. Paul, how the devil are you?
I'm not too bad, mate. I'm pretty good, thank you.
It sounds like you're busy. I'm not kind of quite too sure where we're going to start, but bearing in mind it's not far from Christmas, I'm going to ask you about the Christmas single. What's that about?
Well, it's a project that was put together by the Royal Trinity Hospice here in London. It's their 125th anniversary this year, and they decided that they would like to do something special. And I think they were inspired by, you know, the choral records that have been out at Christmas recently from the NHS choir last year and the Army Wives. And so they put together a choir of over 300 people made up of patients, volunteers, workers, family members, of 300 people from 18 hospices across London. And they enlisted a sort of musical arranger guy called Jim Hawkins. And the choice of song that they came up with was The Living Years. And so they got in touch with me and asked me if, you know, as I sung the original back in the Mike and the Mechanics days, they asked me if I would care to support them and come down and sing lead vocals down in the track was recorded in Abbey Road, which was, you know, a very exciting prospect for the choir. I mean, it's obviously their amateur choir, and I think it was a very exciting thing for them to get involved in. So I went down on one day to Abbey Road, and they recorded the whole thing. The choir had to do it in four separate segments because there's so many of them, and I did my bit in the middle. So they're hoping, basically, you know, obviously if there's any money to be made from a single these days, then obviously all that goes towards the hospices. But not only that, but I think it was a great experience for 300 people, and hopefully will help to raise awareness and profile of, you know, the work that the hospices do, and help them in their other fundraising activities, because they do receive funding from the government, you know, but it's only about a third of what they need, and so the other two thirds they have to raise themselves through the various means. And they feel that this track will, you know, help them in those areas. So I, you know, my own total contribution really was to come down and just sing the lead. That was the easy bit. And so I was more than happy to support them. And apparently, it's they're telling me today that it's the favourite on Betfred, but to be the Christmas number one.
Wow, well, that'll be something, wouldn't it? But what a great song. I mean, The Living Years, I remember. We came down to your home one time and you recorded a version, I think in your garage, on your piano for us for the Dave Kilner Memorial Show we did at the City Hall. What a great experience that was, if you remember that. And what a great song it is, though, Paul. I mean, can you just tell me the story behind that, the Living Years?
Well, I didn't write the song. It was written by B.A. Roberts and Mike Rutherford. They both lost their fathers around the same time, and they both coincidentally had newborn sons around the same time. But I think I'm sure the lyric was written by B.A., and I believe it, touched on the subject of, a lack of communication and unresolved issues, and the fact that, we're here for a short time, and it's important to be open and frank and honest with your loved ones and your nearest and dearest. I think that's basically what the song is about, and I guess that is why the hospice chose that to be the song that they wanted to record.
But it is a lot about the songwriting, obviously, but the interpretation of it and your interpretation of it and your vocals, I must admit, I can very rarely listen to that song without being moved to tears. I mean, does it ever affect you? Does it resonate with you when you're singing it?
It definitely resonates with me. Particularly the last verse, I always have a bit of an image in my mind because, I lost my father when I was 11 years old, but that wasn't through illness. It was the consequences of an accident at work. But I do remember I wasn't there that morning. I remember coming down the stairs and seeing my mum, and so that's the kind of image that's in my mind at that time. But in a way, it's more relevant to the situation I had with my mum when she passed on, because she was ill for a long, long time, and she faced it with immense courage. You're always left with the thought that you could have done more and you could have been more open and all the rest of it. But I think it's a song that will resonate with a lot of people.
You know, every time I see you in concert, Paul, and we're going to come on to that about the UK tour that's coming up, but every time I see you, I get blown away by the performance, and I get very... You really bring us in on the stage. It's a very intimate concert, no matter how big the venue. Is every night just another night at the office, or when you're out there, do you actually get involved? Do you ever turn the tears on stage? Does it ever affect you?
I don't know if I've ever been moved to tears in that respect. I mean, it is my job, it is what I do. I'm very conscious of the fact that people have paid, good money to come and see the show. And my main focus is to try and give 100% that I can give that night. I mean, everybody has their own way of doing that. I mean, I don't jump around the stage and I haven't got any dance moves or anything like that, so it's all about singing from the heart and try and give an honest performance, soulful performance. That's what I'm about, and as I say, if I'm less than 100%, I'm never very happy about it. I mean, I'm not that I'm a perfectionist or anything like that, but definitely want to give a good account of myself.
Well, people will be able to see that for themselves. You're going on, I think it's a 24-day tour come February and March next year. All the dates will be on all our websites. But I just want to reflect on the fact that, obviously, you're a Yorkshireman and you've got three special dates that we're looking forward to. You're at the York Barbican on the February the 12th, you're at Sheffield Arena on February the 24th, and Victoria Theatre in Halifax on March the 5th. Now, I want to ask you about the arena in Sheffield. I think you should play the arena every time you come to Sheffield, but I don't know if you've played there before, Paul.
I have played it there, but not as a headline act. I did support Sting there 1 year.
Wow.
But I haven't done it before. I mean, I've had a differing opinions about it. I know people who would prefer to go to City Hall, for instance, which is where we would normally play. The simple fact of the matter is we have a different promoter this year, and it's their suggestion that we move to the arena, and I think I'm really looking forward to it. I think I don't think it's going to be the full-sized arena.
It's the Steel City Hall, isn't it? It's the very intimate theatre setting, I think, anyway.
Ah, right. Well, I'm not familiar with that. I didn't realise that. I'm a bit remiss there. When we played with Sting, it was in a big room, I think, there were about 10,000 people.
Yeah, I think it's just like a cut down room. I know that Mark Knopfler played there, and I think Richard Aldersby played it. And you know, it's much bigger than playing at the City Hall. It's like twice as big. And I guess that the demand for your shows now is just it's just amazing. This isn't it? I mean, you've been in the business a number of years. Did you ever expect that you were still going to be filling the arenas, like, you know, decades on?
No, it's the simple answer. I didn't when I started out in Sheffield. All of obviously couldn't see any further than the end of my nose, really. I was just wanted to, as my mum used to say, just wanted to avoid work, you know, or a proper job anyway. Turns out that, you know, I'm still working.
Times have changed, though, Paul. I mean, the music industry's completely changed, hasn't it? Pretty much like the newspaper industry.
But, I mean, you know, for me, it's a good time. It's probably the most satisfying time of my career, really. I mean, it's been long and it's been varied. I started out, obviously it's an exciting and it's an adventure when you start out and everything's new and all the rest of it. And then you have the ups and downs and then you wonder if you're going to survive anyway at all doing it. But in my case, I couldn't do anything else.
What's been the secret of surviving so long, apart from having an amazing voice?
Well, there's no secret. It's about hard work, it's about sticking at it. As I say, I wasn't much good at anything else, and I had a wife and four children to bring up, so I had to make it work. And also, you know, I enjoy it a lot. You know, I really do enjoy it. It's work, don't get me wrong, but I enjoy it very much. I've been fortunate to have played with a lot of good people.
Well, I wanted to mention, I think next year you've actually got three shows in 2017, I think, at the Albert Hall with Eric Clapton.
Yeah. Well, for the last 3 years, I've done most of his touring. You know, I've toured all over the world playing keyboards, playing organ. And, of course, Chris Stainton, another Sheffield lad, on the piano. So I've toured all over the world, America, Far East, Europe, and that's just been absolutely incredible experience, you know, to play with Eric and, you know, the amazing musicians that he has. I've played with some of the world's great musicians.
Yeah.
I can't think of another scenario where I could have...
And like you say, some of the most iconic venues as well, and not to mention in your headline tour that's coming up next year. I know that I think you finish at the London Palladium on March the 25th.
Yeah.
But what's it always like to come home to Sheffield? What's it going to be like when you're at the arena?
Well, I hope it's going to be great, mate. I mean, for me, it's as you know. I mean, I moved from Sheffield when I was fairly young. I gravitated towards London, which was where it was happening in those days. I mean, it's much less centralised now. Sheffield's got a great music scene now. But back then, I met a London girl. I married a London girl, and we settled in the south. But you know, my whole family is from Sheffield, and I know there'll be a fairly good turnout from them—cousins, aunts, uncles, brother for sure, and old mates. And of course, the band is all Sheffield-based.
Right. So, is there more pressure on you, Paul, for doing an homecoming, or is it a bit more of a party, a bit more relaxed?
If anything, I'm a little more nervous because I always want it to be great and I want it to be, you know, as good as the shows that we do all over the country. So I was a little bit disappointed last year because I was battling through a cold, so I don't think I was 100%, but, you know, so I did get a little bit nervous there because I want it to be good. I want it to be proud of me and please.
I'm sure we will. And just in terms of what they're going to get, I mean, obviously, I mentioned, and I just want to reflect on that, you had a great album out earlier this year, Soul of Shadows. I guess we're going to be getting hits from that and the greatest hits. Are we going to get everything?
Well, you'll get as much as we can cram into an hour and 30, an hour and 40 minutes. I mean, we do like to include some of those old songs. I mean, a lot of people expect to hear them, and we enjoy playing them, you know, some of those big hits. It's been a part of my whole life and my whole career, but I've never been one to rest on my laurels in that sense, and I've always been more active than ever over the last 10-15 years, putting out new stuff, and fortunately it's had know.
And just reflecting on that, Paul, just finally, what's coming? What you've always got another album up your sleeve, I'm sure you have. What's happening next?
Well, I'm working on a new album at the moment. It's going well. It's my little studio at home. You came down to, of course. It was my garage. I did a bit of a number on it last year. You know, and really poshed it up quite a bit, and it's a really lovely environment to work in now. So I work in there. I'm probably maybe halfway through a new album, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, fantastic. Well, a great and exciting 2017 ahead. And like I say, we can't wait to see you. Particularly, I'm looking forward to the arena gig on February the 24th. Paul, thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye.